Let's take our Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 6. Yes, you saw me drop all of my stuff out of my Bible. And I know that you have never done that before. So, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 12. You always get to do it in front of everybody, you know. You can't drop it in the back here. You got to do it in front of everybody so everybody can get a real chuckle out of that. You know, it'd be nice if church could be like kind of like on tape, you know. Because, you know, when you make the mistakes, and you can go back and fix the mistakes, but it doesn't work. It's live. And so that's the way it happens. Genesis chapter 6, verse number 8. The Bible says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Let's go down to verse number 14, please. "Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof. With lower, second, and third story shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life, from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. And of everything, of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall keep male and female. They shall be male and female. Of the fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shalt thou come into thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be food for thee and for them." Verse 22, "Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he." Heavenly
in the heart of every person is a longing to be free from fear and persecution, free to think and free to speak. Let the heart of every shall we leave?
praise of every heart. Let freedom ring. Let freedom ring. Let freedom ring. Ring, ring, let freedom ring. Let freedom ring.
America is a great nation. I thank God for the 236th anniversary of America. And as I was preparing this week for what God had in store for us on Sunday, I began to think about the 101 pilgrims that came to America to found this great country of ours. They came here with a dream, with a vision. And the truth of the matter is, they were concerned about religious freedom. And of those 101 that came to America, over half of them died within the first year. But they were willing to come. They were willing to come here and give themselves to this nation, to build a nation that was guided and founded on godly principles, that a nation that cared about the things of God. The first building erected in America was a church building. Because they believed that if this nation was going to be a great nation, it could not be a nation without having God as its focal point. It took great faith to come here. It took tremendous amount of commitment and dedication. And yet those who came, over half who lost their lives, they came for one clear principle: freedom of religion. But unfortunately, America has fallen back from that. We're no longer a nation that cares about the things of God. In fact, I believe that we see a nation that has turned their back on God altogether. We find ourselves just like the passage that we read. But we should not be surprised. Jesus told us it was going to be that way. In fact, in the Bible says that Jesus said this: as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat and they drank. They married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. The fact is that just like it was in the days of Noah, the Bible said prior to the return of Jesus Christ, that is how our world will be. A world that's filled with violence. A world that ignores the commands of God. A world that is problematic, to say the least. And we live in a problematic society. There's no doubt about that. We read about the violence in chapter 6. We read about the fact that the violence was so bad that God said, I'm going to have to destroy the human race. This is where we are right now. But God remembered there was one family. There was one group of people. That was Noah and his family. They rejected the modern philosophy of the day. They decided that for them, God was their choice. They decided that for them, they were going to obey God rather than man. They decided before them that if there's going to be anything that would be right and proper in their life, that God was going to be that center point. That was their decision. Thank God for a people like that. Thank God for some believers like that. And you know, I really believe this today, that God is looking for some families who have that kind of faith. God's looking for some people that have that kind of faith.
God's looking for some people that are not moved by the current trends of a society or allow their emotional swings to keep them away from walking with God or living maybe based on only what is convenient for them, but they're willing to say, you know what? If I have to die, I'd rather die in the will of God than live outside of the will of God. I want to preach to you today on the subject faith for the family. Here I marvel at this great passage. Here God remembered Noah and his family. But Noah was called into something unusual. Something that could not be explained. Something for us as we study this passage. God was told that they told Noah that he was to build an ark. Now, you have to keep in mind in those days, there were no Google searches for ark. He had never actually seen a design for the ark. He could not go down to Home Depot and say, can you give me plans for building an ark? Put it into perspective for you. Look at where he was. He's building something he's never seen. He's doing something that seems nearly impossible. With no support, no help from anybody in the world, all he had was him and God. But if he did not build this ark, we learn later that without the ark, there was no deliverance for his family. God was going to bring the judgment. There's no doubt about it that the floods were going to come. There's no doubt about it that they were looking at a worldwide universal flood, a destruction to all of the wickedness and the sin and the idolatry and the immorality. All of it was going to be destroyed in one act of God. There was only one hope. They had to believe in God. They had to have faith in God. Now, I want you to notice the three aspects of God's faith. And I put some notes there in your bulletin. And I don't say a lot about that. But if you pull your bulletin out, you can see those notes and kind of fill those little blanks in to help kind of guide you through this process. Because the truth matter is today, I want to ask you, what kind of faith do you have? Not only that, but what kind of faith does your family have? Where is your family? Where are you as an individual? And what about your family? What if God were to ask you to do something very unusual? What if God were to ask you to do something that didn't make sense to anybody else, but it was certainly what God wanted you to do? What kind of faith would that take? Well, let's look at some thoughts here. Number one, they had to have faith in God's leadership. They had to believe that God was leading them. They had to be convinced, and so did Noah, because here's the way I kind of look at it, and maybe I'm just a little bit, you know, in my mind, maybe my imagination may be running a little bit loose here, but I can almost imagine, here's Noah, maybe in prayer one day, talking to God. The rest of the world's out there partying, having a good time, ignoring the things of God. There's violence on every hand. Here he is praying and talking to God and seeking God's face. And God says, here's what I want you to do, Noah. I'm tired of it. I'm going to destroy this entire world with a flood. And here's what I want you to do, Noah. I want you to build an ark. And God gave specific instructions on the size of the ark and how to build the ark and all of that. And I just wonder what Noah said. Wow. God, you're asking me to do that. But you know what? I have a family at the house. Are they going to buy into this? Are they going to go home and when I tell them that this is what we're going to do, that I'm going to build this ark and God's going to send the floodwaters and destroy this world because of its wickedness and its idolatry and its rebellion to God. I'm going to build this ark. Can they trust what you tell me to tell them? That was the question. Wow, that's big. That's huge. But you know, the truth of the matter is, we do have to have faith in God's leadership. Every one of us do. I mean, there's no doubt about it for your family and my family. We have to trust God's leadership in our lives. Because God may lead us to places and do things with us in our own life because He's God, and we may not always understand those. But how does God lead? How does that work? I mean, if God's going to lead me and guide me, and I have to have faith to believe that God is going to do that, then how does God do that for my family? Because I want you to know that the most important person that we have outside of God in our life or a group of people would be our family. I want to make sure our family is right. I want to make sure our family is walking with God. And how does that work? Well, first of all, they must believe in a God-appointed leader. Verse number 13, the Bible said that God said unto Noah, can I ask you a question? What kind of person was Noah? He was a man, wasn't he? You know, it wasn't anything supernatural about him. In fact, we read back in verse number 9 there, the Bible said that he was a just man and perfect in his generations. Now, keep in mind, the word perfect does not mean the fact that he did not have sin in his life. We know, according to the Bible says that when Adam ate the tree, that all of mankind became sinners. It did not say that he did not in any way not have sin in his life. It simply said that he was a man, though, that knew God, that walked with God, and he was mature in his walk with God. He was as mature as he could be at what age he was at this point in his life, that when God wrote those words down. You see, God, His grace, calls a man to accomplish the work that He has here on this planet. God's method of leading is always through a God-called man. For example, in John chapter 1, the Bible said there was a man sent from God whose name was John. In fact, in Ezekiel chapter 22, the Bible said, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. You see, I'm convinced that what God is looking for is God's looking for some people, and primarily men, who He can lead into what He wants them to do. Noah was a natural selection. Noah was God's man. You know, I believe today that we need some men who will stand for God today. Amen. Fathers, your responsibility in your home is to stand for God. I mean, no doubt about it that if your family looks at your life and understands that you walk with God, your leadership will not be an issue for them. You know, I don't know, for me, maybe I grew up in an old era. In fact, I want to know at what age do you go from being new school to being old school thinking? If anyone could tell me that, I'd appreciate your filling me in, okay? Because my children tell me, and some of my staff guys, thank you guys, tell me, you're old school, Pastor. But I would rather not be old school. I want to be biblical school. Amen. But you tell me where in the Bible do we have a problem with the fact that men are to be leaders? In fact, the truth of the matter is, God says He calls men to be leaders. That's how God leads. And, you know, I just happen to believe that when you lead, you take initiative to lead. That you do what God wants you to do. And the Bible says here that for him, here was Noah. He was a man that was the only that we could read in his generation. He was the only man that truly walked with God, and that he was letting God lead him to do something that was very unusual. And what's even more interesting is his family was willing to follow him. So, today, I believe what God's saying is, men, be leaders. My dad, I remember my dad growing up, Here, I used to do this. I used to say this. And now as an adult looking back, as a father who now have adult children, but back in those days, I didn't quite understand what my dad meant, but I do now. Here's what my dad would say. My dad would say this, "Son, be a leader." And you know what? We need some men that will be leaders. You know, because here's what I used to say. And they would say something like this, because I remember my mom, bless her heart, here's what she would do. She would say this. She would say, "Now, look, here's what I want you to do. I want you to sweep. I want you to dust." And I'm thinking, wait a minute. I'm a man. I don't dust. I don't vacuum. That's what women do. You know, I go out and I hunt, man, you know. Climb trees. Build buildings. I don't do those things. And what was real humbling is my dad came up with this really great idea one day. He was going to put AstroTurf on our porch in the front of the house. Now, that wasn't bad enough. That was kind of cool. You know, you could walk out there, you know. There's AstroTurf. You could walk out in the mornings, and there's AstroTurf out there. But what wasn't really cool was my mom said, "Go vacuum the porch." Now, what was really interesting is all the rest of my buddies in the neighborhood was watching me vacuum the porch. And they kind of came by, and it was kind of like, "Let's go watch him vacuum the porch. Isn't this cool?" That's where Noah was. Noah was building an ark, and everybody's coming by and saying, "Look at that idiot over there. He's building an ark." That's how they saw it. And by the way, he was a man, wasn't he? You know when he became the man? When the rain started. That's when he became the man. Thank God for a man that would stand, that would lead his family. It was God-appointed leader. But why was the family? I touched on that earlier. Why did the family so believe that what God had told him was so? Here's the reason why. Because that not only did he believe in, we believe in God's appointed leader, but second of all, he believed in God's development in his relationship. You know what it means? The Bible said that Noah walked with God. He walked with God. The family had seen the godliness in his life, and the family knew that Noah was a man that walked with God. One man said it to me this way. He says, "You know, nobody knows you any better than your own family." I've seen a lot of families fall apart because what they profess to be outside the home is not really what is inside the home. In other words, some families, you know, they kind of portray themselves when they're out of the home that everything's fine. In fact, I get a little bit nervous when I see a lot of lovey-dovey outside the home, because I wonder if it's absent in the home. You know, the truth of the matter is that sometimes we find ourselves in that, and yet you look here, what happened is, here's the family that not only said, you know, Noah, not only does he live for God outside the home, but he lives for God inside the home. He was a man of integrity. There was no doubt about it. I mean, to the place where him, Shem, and Japheth, I mean, whenever they said, "Hey, you know what? We're going to go get in the ark." They go get in the ark. That's always mystified me. I've always looked at that and wondered how that happened. But now I become aware of the fact that the reason why that the family was to be willing to say, "You know what, Noah, you spent 100 years building this ark, and Noah, you tell us that God's going to send the flood, and you know, you tell us that if we don't get in, we're going to die. We believe you because you walk with God." Because God was leading Noah. You see, his career wasn't leading him. His philosophy wasn't leading him. He wasn't letting his emotions lead him. His wife wasn't leading him. I don't know what her name was. I will call her Mrs. Noah, I guess. That's the best thing I know. But guess who was leading him? God was. Folks, we need some God-led families in America once again. We need some families like the 101 that would get on a ship and come to this nation and said, you know what? Hey, we may die, but we're going to die in the will of God, trying to do what God wants us to do. We're going to serve God. We're willing to give our lives. And we need some families that say, you know what? That's how serious we are about God too. We're willing to come to church. We're willing to stand and do whatever it takes to stand for God. We're willing to be involved in community outreach. We're willing to knock doors. We're willing to tell our neighbors about Christ. We are not going to go with the trends of the world. We are going to live according to the Word of God. You see, that's why Noah could do what he did. Because they followed God's leadership. Ask Noah, Noah, what are you doing? I'm doing what God wants me to do. In fact, did you read at the end of chapter 6 there, verse 22? Twice it says that he did what God told him to do. I mean, the emphasis was there. Did you happen to see it? Notice, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. What does he mean by that? Noah, he did it. He did it. He wasn't just talking it, he was doing it. He was being what God wanted him to be. You see, if you and I, if we had faith in God, we're willing to follow God's leadership. And here's the problem we have, quite frankly, Christian. Listen to me carefully. If you're a believer in Christ today, you find that this happens often, and you're very tempted to do this. And here's how it works. You say something like this, well, God, what do you want me to do? And if God asks you to do something, your only way you'll say, let me think about it. And that's your first problem right there. Because can I tell you something? Thinking about what God wants you to do will always lead you down the road of rebellion. Because this is faith. Faith is not what you think. Faith is believing what God says. Amen, church? You see, it's not about really thinking. It's about doing what God says. You know, can you imagine if Noah says, well, God, let me think about that. Now, we don't know the ins and outs. We don't know what's all in the heart. But I guarantee you, Noah had to have been kind of like floods, water, ark, worldwide judgment, everybody die. But still, in all that, he did what God wanted him to do. He followed God's leadership. He had to have faith in that. That took a lot. But not only did he follow God's leadership, but second of all, write this one down. He had faith in God's plan. God had a plan. Look, today, do you realize that you're not here on this planet by accident? God had a plan. God has a master plan for this world. And you're just a part of that plan. And God put you here for a purpose. A plan. And I believe that. Because the truth bearer is God wants all of us to know Him as Savior. You see, the moment when we trust Christ as Savior, the Bible says that when we put our faith and trust in Him, that but as many as received Him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God. That means that I receive Him as my personal Savior. The moment I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as my only hope to heaven, I now become a child of God. Isn't it wonderful to be a Christian? It's wonderful to be a part of God's family. And I'm so glad of that. But, you know, life's quest and goal is not just I get to the place where now I become a Christian, but here's what God's purpose is, or God's plan, rather, is that God wants to use His people. God uses His people. What do you mean? God uses you and me. That's why I'm here. God then called Noah. We're reminded this is the work of God, that God burns a man. God lays on the heart of what He wants him to do. God gives him the ability to accomplish His will. And he does what God wants him to do. And God does the same for our families. 1 Corinthians says it like this: but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound those which are mighty. In other words, God uses us, his people. Ronald Reagan said this, one of the great quotes, I think he said, a leader once convinced that a particular course of action is the right one must have the determination to stick with it and be undaunted when the going gets supposed to be tough. Can I tell you something? If you get serious about living for God, it will get tough. But don't quit. Keep on going, because God wants to use his people. I remember when I was in Bible college, our professor used to always say this: gentlemen, keep a tender heart and a tough hide. That's what we need, a tender heart and a tough hide. We need to realize that there are times that our heart needs to be tender. In fact, all the time our heart needs to be tender. But we have to be tough for God and move forward for God and do what God wants to do so that God can use us. God used Noah. And I'll tell you, it got tough. There were times that as Noah was going through the difficulties and the adversities and the hardship, God used him. And God can use you, and God can use your family in this time period when our world is rejecting the things of God and cares nothing about God, and violence is at every hand. We've had 8 murders here just in Fairfield alone. I read in the paper this morning another person was murdered. Another man tried to shoot police officers. He had to take his life yesterday morning in Vallejo. We're reading about how that violence is all over the street. I mean, it's true. It's there. It's in front of us. It's right here in our community. This is not something we're reading about in New York or Chicago or someplace out of the way. It's right here. And I want to suggest to you the reason why that we've gotten the way we have is because we've turned our back on God. But if we believe what God says, we put our faith in God, no matter how problematic our society is, no matter how difficult the circumstances are, we can take our family through these difficult days because we have faith in God's plan. Do you believe in God today?
Amen.
You see, God now uses his people, but he uses his power. God's going to bring a worldwide judgment, but God has provided the ark as the hope for a family. You see, the flood waters represent the judgment that God is going to bring on all of mankind without Jesus Christ. That means that one day there's going to be a judgment on this world. There's no doubt about it that God's going to judge all of mankind for their sin. And that judgment is in the place the Bible calls hell. And nobody in their right mind would ever want to go there, but that's what God says, that's where the judgment is. And the only way that man can get out is we have to get into the ark. And let me tell you who the ark is. The ark is Jesus Christ. All the judgment's coming. You can't avoid that. There's no doubt about it. But the ark is Jesus Christ. And what God says is, though the waters may come, the flood waters of judgment may come, all of that is certain. There's no doubt about it. You can't avoid it. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is man's hope from deliverance from that judgment. And as Noah and his family got into the ark that day, and God closed the door, the Bible said that. And the reason I believe that God closed the door is because if man closed the door, he might be willing to open it up. And God said, no, when I shut the door, it's over with. When life is done, I'm done. And God brings the judgment. But God says Jesus Christ is man's hope. Now, some people like to try to manufacture their own religion. They like to make it like, okay, now if I live a good life, maybe I'll be good enough. I'll get there to heaven. I'll try to do it my own way. I'll do it some other way. I'll do it through religion or through good works or through something. And the Bible says it like this: for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God reminds us that it's not what we think, it's what God says that matters. It's the ark, and the ark is Jesus Christ. But then we see God uses his knowledge, because God telling us, since he knows the end from the beginning, God knows everything there is about us. And God knows what the future is. And God is saying that I know that what's happening, what's coming down the road, is there's going to be a flood water. There's going to be judgment. And I want you to know, I want you to tell the people as you're building the ark that this is because there's coming a judgment. And to remind you of this church family, as our families that make up this church, as we serve God, we're reminding the world that we're serving God and we have deliverance through Jesus Christ, but there's coming a judgment one day. And men need to get into the ark, and there's plenty of room for man to get into the ark. You see, here we find that there's faith in God and his leadership. Faith in God and his plan, but there's one more thing. Write this one down. We have to have faith in God's purposes. God's purposes. You say, what do you mean by his purposes? Well, there's some purposes of God. I'll give you four very quickly. Number one, he fulfills his word. God told Noah the floods are coming, and in direct proportion to the fact that he said that, he did send the floods. He fulfilled what he said. And someone had asked me one time, well, preacher, do you really believe that's a worldwide flood? If the Bible says it, I believe it. You know, I'm not trying to figure it out. Someone asked me, well, could it be a localized flood? No. Has to be a worldwide flood. If God says it, that settles it. You know, I was trying to figure all this stuff out. And we say, well, what, you know, well, how can you explain that? I can't, but God can. I'm sure that Noah is saying, now look, Ham, let me just tell you this story. God's going to send a worldwide flood. I'm building this ark. I want all of us to get in when God tells us to get into the ark. Can you imagine if Ham said, no, I'm not getting in. I don't believe that, Dad. No. I'm not getting in. Ham would have died. Can you imagine that? That would have been horrible. How about Japheth? What if he said, no, I don't believe that? No. No, because the truth of the matter is, God's word was going to be fulfilled. And they knew that Noah, as he preached and lived and walked with God and built the ark, that he believed what God said, and God fulfilled his word. Thank God he did. I want to tell you this today, whatever God says in his word is so. I never doubt. I don't have to doubt it. I'm not sitting here trying to figure it out and say, well, that Bible is written by man, or it's written. No, it's written by God. Amen. Yeah, God had men write it down, but it's God's word, and we believe what God says. That's faith in God. And someone said, well, I don't believe that. Okay, then what do you have faith in? If you don't have faith in God's word, then you must have faith in yourself. And how many times have you failed yourself in your faith in yourself? You say, I have faith in what some man wrote in some science book. Let me shock you. Charles Darwin wrote what he did about the origin of species. At the end of his life, he said, I was mistaken. He was wrong. He knew that. Dr. Spock wrote about how give kids everything they want. Just let kids grow up and just, you know, don't hurt them and don't tell them no. Just give them everything they want. And Dr. Spock, at the end of his life, said, I was wrong. I raised a bunch of hoodlums. Look, God's never wrong. Amen. We can trust God's word. And when God said there's coming a judgment, he's serious about that. That's why he told him about the ark. And that's why he sent his son, Jesus Christ. Letter B, vindicate his servant. The building of the ark proved that Noah had faith in God before a wicked world. And when the floods came, he vindicated his servant. Number three, he presented his message. He wanted the world to know it wasn't just the fact that he said it, but the ark was a presentation of the message that yes, there is coming a judgment, and yes, this is the only deliverance, and yes, we must turn to him, and yes, we must believe in Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question today. Do you believe Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? If you have never done that, would you please call on him today? We're not asking to be a church member. It's not church membership. It's salvation in the person of Jesus Christ. But then fourthly, one more purpose that God had, to reveal his majesty. God demonstrated his ability of this worldwide flood that he sent. But on top of that, God displayed his power in the fact that he was able to protect those inside the ark. God protected every one of them. And God delivered them because they had to believe that God could do that. I don't know, I've often thought about this so many times. I can't even imagine me going and telling my wife, look, God's getting ready to send a big flood. And they're going to say, and she would say, what's a flood? Well, it's a lot of water. What's water? Because they didn't have water like we think of today. It's going to rain. What's rain? Well, God's going to send rain, and then there's going to be this flood on the earth. And okay, I'm trying to get this straight now. There's going to be water coming down from the sky. And so earth is going to be covered with water. Is that what you're telling me? Yeah, and God told me to go out and build this great big boat. Okay, let me get it straight now. Okay, so it's raining from the sky. Water's coming down from the sky. The earth is going to flood. In other words, we're going to get water all over this earth. And everybody's going to die, except back in the boat that you're going to build, right? Noah, why don't you sit down and think about this for a minute. He built it. And guess what? They got in. They got in. And when the rain started coming and the floods started coming, they realized this was of God. But it was too late for those who didn't get in. I don't know what it must have been like inside that ark. But if you think about being inside there, and then all of a sudden you know that your neighbors up the street, they're now drowning. And then I'd be over there knocking on the door, let me in, let me in, let me in. And guess what? They couldn't open the door because guess who closed it? God did. Maybe the babies. Maybe the young children that they saw play are now, they're drowning in the water because their families were unwilling to listen to what Noah said, and they drowned because they refused to believe in God. It's just too late. It was over. What a horrible, awful thought. But thank God for those who got in the ark. They got in because what God said was so. Look, today, you can believe in God's leadership. You can believe in God's plan, and you can believe in God's purpose because God is God. I don't know what God's going to do in America in the next 100 years. Everybody right now is all worried about what's going to happen in the election. Can I remind you of this? That man can't alter or change America. Only God can. I mean, I don't care who you put back, whether you put Obama back in or you put in Mitt Romney or whoever you put in. It doesn't matter. The truth matter is, we need God back in America. We need God back where he rightfully belongs. We need to once again go back to the days when those 101 pilgrims who got on that boat and got off and they thank God for the fact that they were safe on land. And then even through those winter months and when some of them were dying and they were burying their children, they were reminded of the fact that God is still God. And we need to get God back in that same rightful place that he belongs. We need to get God back in our state. God knows our state needs him so desperately. We need to get God back in our homes again. There's no doubt about it. I think some of us, we have, you know what? This is about the only God we get in a week, and that's sad. God should be the God of your home. He should be the God of your television set and your internet and all the other things that you have in your life. You ought to be your God. Not just something, someone that you go to on a Sunday morning in a church service. God needs to be the God of your life. Your life. Oh. If there's anything I could say, I have to say this. We need God. I was talking to an officer the other night. He was telling me about scene. We were kind of sharing a few events of things that we've been together through. He and I have been together through several things. And one of the things we were talking about is, he said this. He says, you know, he said, the strange thing to me is this. Listen, this is it. This is, get the closing. This is it. He said, the strange thing to me is I'll show up on a scene, and it, whether it be a domestic or it'll be an auto accident or something like that, and a guy will have a huge gash down the side of his head and he's bleeding profusely. And I'll show up and I'll tell him, hey, look, man, you really need medical attention really bad. And he said, do you know what the strange thing to me is? I've had some of them say, no, it'll be all right. And they refuse medical attention. And some of them have died because of that. And today, maybe your family needs some spiritual medical attention. And I wonder if you're like, nah, it'll be all right, preacher. I don't need it. Can I remind you? You do need it.
Right.
Jesus Christ is what you need. Would you turn to him today? Heavenly Father.